got notes all over the place. Come on, somebody say, it must be good then. Somebody say, it must be good. Amen. Genesis. I want to go to chapter 45. Then I'm going to Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And God's been dealing with me about something, and so I'm working through something. Amen. And so if you're new this morning, you're looking for something polished and something exact, hate to disappoint you, came to the wrong place this morning. Because I'm not polished and I'm not exact. I am Spirit-led, though, and Spirit-filled. And so I believe that sometimes I may not always have the exact word, but I always have a leading. And I always have the anointing. Amen? And so when God is speaking to my spirit, a lot of times it's a progressive work of God unveiling that revelation to us. And that revelation that God is unveiling to us is for a purpose and for a point. And sometimes we don't always see it. You're going to understand that in this series that I'm doing right now. And if you're taking notes and they're writing it down, and who's ever recording the message, I right now my working title here is The Time in Between. Everybody say that. The Time in Between. At the beginning and the end, Alpha and Omega. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Come on, say it with me. He is the author. Amen. Is everybody awake? Amen. Amen. Do I need to get some anointing oil and throw it out over the audience or something? Get everybody's attention this morning? Come on. Let's come together right here. Amen. I said He is the author and the of our. So He is the and the of our faith. So He is the beginning. He is the ending to our faith. So we understand that in the sense that, but that can be almost mystical in the sense of in that He is the beginning. We understand that in the beginning when we accepted Christ into our life, we had that supernatural moment. That's called a Kairos moment. That is, the circumstances aligned themselves in our life. The conditions aligned themselves in our life, and we found ourselves kneeling, standing, however it came, and we received Christ into our life. We confessed with our mouth and believed in our heart that God hath raised Christ from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. So we know that we have been born again. If you don't know that, I don't want you to leave today unless you are sure that you're born again, because that's what it's all about anyways. That's the beginning of it. The ending of our faith, we have not yet seen. Amen? Anybody seen the end of your faith? Anybody seen the end of your faith? No, you haven't seen the end of your faith. You want to know why? Because you're here. Amen? You're still alive. Amen? We don't know what the end of our faith is. So in that self, it's kind of a mystery. Well, what will the end of the faith be? But see, in one context, that's the ultimate end. We're talking about eternity. But how many knows there's a lot of little endings before we get to the big end? Amen? How many knows that there's a lot of little endings? That's why that we have Kairos and Chronos. This is Chronos. Amen? This is time. This is chronological, chronos. It's a Greek word, chronos. That's human time. But kairos is God's time. Kairos is God constructing time. Kairos is God constructing things, creating things for God moments in our life. See, without those God moments in our life, those are what we would call manifest presence. That's when God comes, heals us, delivers us. When God comes on the scene, even in the midst of it. But it's difficult sometimes because we see the beginning, we understand the beginning, but sometimes it's difficult to see the end of a thing. I said sometimes it's difficult to see the end of a thing when you're in a thing. Is it too plain? Amen. Do I need to make it more complicated this morning? I said it's difficult to see the end of a thing when you're in a thing. I said it's difficult to see the end of your circumstance, especially when that God has given you a promise, when God has called you, and you know that. The most difficult thing in seeing the end of something is that when you know inwardly, and you have a witness inwardly, that God has spoken to you about something. Amen? And when you have been given a word, when something is there, that's why that some people find themselves in that place of frustration. Because they are wondering. See, many times when we think that it's not working out, it's because you're trying to judge everything by your Cronus time. Because, see, you're a human being. Everybody, how many humans do we have here? Any aliens? Amen. Any aliens? I'm just looking around just to make sure somebody's pointing. Amen. We're humans. So be patient with me. I told you I'm working through something. So we are governed by Chronos. We're governed by when we have to get up, what time we have to be someplace. Amen. How many hears what I'm saying to you? I know what it's like. You know, you got to get up at that same time because you know. How many has got it worked out? I want to know. How many has got it worked out with your Cronus time, your chronology, your Cronus time? How many has got it worked out? You know when you can get up, get your shower, get your breakfast. You know exactly how much time it'll take you to get up and to get at work, not 10 or 15 minutes early, but you know that it, as long as traffic's okay, you can get to work at 3 minutes till. Or 5 minutes till. How many has got it worked out? Come on, raise your hand. How many has got it worked out? See, there are a lot of people just like me that we got it worked out. See? See, I knew exactly how long it was going to take me to get up, get ready. Amen? But then there's those times to when on the road to get to the destination, whoops, somebody's working on a bridge that you didn't know about. And now your 3 minutes are gone. Why is that? Because you didn't see the in-between. Are you listening to me? And the in-betweens, we don't see because we're governed by chronological time and Cronus time instead of realizing that we're not just a human being. We've been born supernaturally. And because of that, I want you to understand that the in-betweens is what we need to be concerned about. What we need to be concerned about is the in-betweens, that God is doing some things in our life that many times that we discount, and if we're not careful, we miss the in-betweens, that God is working out something supernatural in our lives. Amen? I'm going to give you the definition of Kairos. Are you still with me? The definition of Kairos is a time when conditions are right for the accomplishment of a crucial action. Now, this is just one definition. I'm going to give and add to this, but I want you to hear that again. It is a time when conditions are right for the accomplishment of a crucial action in our life. I want to read to you about the story of Joseph. God gave me two scriptures. You'll turn with me here in chapter 45. In verse 5, I hope everybody doesn't rush off afterwards. There's plenty of food afterwards. And I hope everybody doesn't rush off for us to help decorate the church. If we're going to enjoy it, amen, together, then let's put it up together. Amen? And so I want to encourage you to stay. The more to stay, the easier it'll be to get it finished and get it done, because we want to celebrate, and we're doing it a little bit earlier than we normally do because we want to enjoy it just a little bit longer. Well, the truth is I want to enjoy it a little bit longer, so no need trying to deceive any of you. Look here in chapter 45 and verse 5 today. He said, "Now therefore, be not grieved." This is Joseph talking. Everybody say the end of a thing. Chapter 45, verse 5 is the end of a thing. Okay? I wish I was smart enough to always see the end of a thing. The majority of the time, I don't see the end of a thing. And can I tell you something is this? God doesn't want us. God sometimes is not going to show us the end of a thing. That's why that God doesn't want to show us the end of a thing, because that's why it's called faith. Because we walk by faith and not by sight. And a lot of the things in between, this is the fourth dimension. I'm going to get to that in just a minute. But when we're talking about the real walk of faith, we're talking about the fourth dimension. This is the dimension that is outside even the fact of our own natural, the dimensions that we live in. The fourth dimension is that dimension to where our faith works. And a lot of people don't understand that. And what they do is they live in the senses of their life and they never really begin to activate their faith. But I want you to know that either what is going to happen is that we will always be swept up with the circumstances of life. And I contend that many people miss the kairoses of their life, because what happens, they're so caught up in the chronos of their life. If you remember the example that I gave of the rope and the end was red and the rest of it was white. So many people are captivated by that small piece of red. We're captivated in our life by the natural, that if we can arrive at this place. See, we have in our mind that if I can acquire this, or if I can acquire that, if I can acquire that car, or if I can acquire so much money, if I can land that job, if I had so much money in the bank, if I was able to save this amount of money, praying that my stocks will increase, my portfolio will be able to expand itself. But on every side of us, we see turmoil and confusion. On every side of us, every way we face, we see trouble and turmoil on every side. I contend to you that who will come forth in this last day will be those who understand the kairos, not only the chronos. That we realize that the times and the seasons that we are in are divine appointments of God. You will either look at yourself as a natural human being plodding through life, hoping to make it to heaven someday, or you will realize that God has a divine appointment for you in this earth, that He has created you in His image, and that God has a divine appointment. But you have to understand that either chronos, chronology, will dominate your time, or you will understand that God has kairos. It's the time in between. See, some people will only experience the beginning and the end. But the real meat is in between. Amen? See, the real sustenance, the real substance is in between. It's not just about being born and dying. That's not where the reality is. The reality is, it's not just about being born, because we can be born and our circumstance say to us, because of how we were born and where we were born and where we were born into, could dictate to our life that this is who we are. One of the greatest testimonies is Edgar Hartebahn's testimony of how he was born into the world. And how that he was not supposed to be born. And how that his circumstances dictated that this is how that he was supposed to be. But God raised him out, took him out of the country that he was in, and brought him to America to raise him up and to prosper him and bless him. And why? Because what he has discovered, it's not how I was born, where I was born, but it's about the in-betweens. It's about the kairos that God is doing in my life. Be careful that all you live for is the beginning and the end, when there is a great middle that God wants to do in your life. And that the circumstances that you are facing in your life, the hardships, the disappointments that you are facing, remember something. Those many times are the kairos. Thank you, Father. Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves. He's talking to his family. We'll come back here. That ye sold me hither. For God did send me, listen to this. God did send me before you to preserve life. Wow. Did you hear it? I think most of you understand, and I'm going to briefly go through today about the life of Joseph. I know you all have heard it, and you've heard it in Sunday school, and you've heard other preachers preach about it. But I want you to understand that here is not the same young man. This is a man who's almost 40 years old. This is a man who is reaching towards midlife. This is not the same 17-year-old boy that was thrown in a pit 20 years before that. Are you listening to me? 20 years before that was thrown into a pit and who was betrayed by his brothers and who was sold into slavery because they were jealous of him. This is not the same young man. This is a man who has experienced the kairos of God. He has seen God in the midst of all of his troubles. There has been times in the midst of Joseph's life that he tried to stick his finger in to help God out. But how many knows that God doesn't need no help in our life? What he needs is our obedience and for us to say, yes, God, even though I don't understand this circumstance, even though I don't understand why my life is at where it's at now, but I do understand that your divine hand is on my life, and that in the midst of all of it, I know that you are trying to develop a kairos moment for me. This is kairos. This is a kairos moment here. This is a time when conditions are right for the accomplishment of a crucial action. Are you hearing me? But this is not the only kairos moment that Brother Joseph had. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be airing nor harvest. Verse 7, and God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. Are you listening to me? Are you hearing the testimony of this young man? He said, it wasn't you. It was you that became jealous. You have to understand here that Joseph, at 17 years old, saw his brothers misbehaving, and he went and tattled to his daddy. And he told his daddy, he said, your sons out there are not behaving correctly. And he tattled on them. How many knows that can set an adversarial spirit in the family? Amen. Are you listening to me? That's the way it is. See, even in his own calling, he didn't even understand the calling and the dimension of his calling in his life. He has been given favor by his father. He has been given special favor by his father. His father, he's his father's favorite. He's put him in a position to where that he is bigger than his brothers. He's the youngest, but he's bigger. Why? Because there is times in our life that we don't even understand what is working out in our life. We find ourselves not being afraid of taking control or looking at circumstance and saying, this could be better, this could be different, and that is not right. But you see, what's mixed in with all of that is the immaturity of our chronological age. Are you listening to me? So in my chronological age, I may be 15, but yet on the inside I feel 20 or 30 or 35. That is the way it is when there's a divine calling that is in our life. But see, the kairos and the chronological don't always agree. And when they don't agree, you got trouble. You got conflict. Oh, y'all ain't listening to me. That's okay. We get to it. I'm just working it out. I'm having fun working this out. See, we don't understand that in our lives sometimes, that where we are and where God wants us. See, destiny is on the inside of us. The destiny is on the inside of us. We don't have the capability yet to be able to discern that, to understand the God on the inside of us. I'm still barely able to shave. I still need somebody to get me up out of bed in the morning. But on the inside, I feel something working. I feel something going on. But you see, I'm still a pimple-faced 70-year-old boy. Now, all of a sudden, God gives him a dream. Different than Elizabeth and Mary. When God spoke to them, they hid those things in their heart. See, difference in maturity. See? God gave them a great thing, but yet they hid it. They didn't want to make it public. But Brother Joseph here gets a dream. And what he wants to do, he wants to share it with his brothers who can't stand him. And it's not a dream to where he's saying to them, God spoke to me and said, you're going to prosper, every one of you. You're going to have great wealth in your life. You're just going to be blessed from beginning to end. No, he comes to him and tells them, here's the dream I had. I'm going to be above you and you're going to all worship me one day. I mean, what did he think? They were going to get out all the party favors? I mean, what did he think they were going to do? Let's go to Chuck E. Cheese and let's celebrate this, Joseph. We are so excited that we're going to bob up. We can't even stand you breathing in our direction. I mean, have you disliked somebody that they don't even have to talk? They just walk in the room and you begin to grind your teeth. Are you hearing me? I mean, their very presence, is just almost enough to just send you off into orbit someplace. And you just wait for them to say something. And they could say anything like, well, it's a beautiful day. Oh, really? Well, isn't it wonderful that you think it's a beautiful day? Why? See, God didn't have to give him the dream, but he did. Why? Well, because, see, God was trying to work something out in Joseph's life. See, we don't always understand that. We don't understand. See, some of us think that it's a curse, that it's something bad. It's because of all the mistakes. But here's what I want you to understand today, and I'm getting just a little ahead of myself, but that's okay. For God sent me before you. Verse 8 says, so now it was not you that sent me hither, but God, and he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and Lord over all his house and a ruler throughout all the land. Now turn with me to Romans chapter 8. In Romans 8 and 28, very familiar portion of scripture here. Look what it says, and we know. Everybody say, we know. Everybody say, right. How many knows that we don't know most of the time? I said, come on, be honest with me. I said, I know what the word says here. See, but to get to the knowing part, you got to go through a couple little small detours. Here's the detours you got to go through. You got to be thrown into a pit. You got to be betrayed by your brothers. You got to lose your metron, your anointing, your inheritance. You're sold into slavery. Are you hearing me? You're taken into a foreign land that you don't know anybody, and you lose everything. And then the first stop that you get into this guy's house by the name of Potiphar. It looks like there's a reversal of fortunes. He makes you the lord of his house because he recognizes the calling on your life. He recognizes the gift and the grace that is there. And everything's cool. It would have been cool just with him and Potiphar, but yet there's a fly in the soup. The fly in the soup is his wife, because Joseph was a pretty hunky guy, it seems like. And Potiphar's wife begins to desire him. And Joseph, because he has character in it, he doesn't have all the wisdom of God yet. He doesn't understand the full calling in his life. He doesn't have full understanding in his life yet. And so here he is, finds himself again. He's just out of one mess. He's just jumped from the pan, now thinking that everything is reversed and the wife will not leave him alone. See, isn't it amazing that in the midst of it, the calling that's in our life, the amount of it's there, that God wanting to do something great, that God has something wonderful. Genesis chapter 45, here we have Him decreeing that, man, it wasn't you that sent me, it wasn't you that did this, God did it. But how many knows before He got to the end of the matter, He had to walk through a few things to get to the end. He had to live the in-betweens. And living the in-betweens is difficult. So here he finds himself. She will not be told no. But that's the way Satan is. Satan doesn't understand the word no. Your temptations don't understand no. I know that Nancy Reagan had a famous saying, say no to drugs. I have to tell you, I never said no to drugs before. I had to be delivered from drugs. See, no's not enough. So she forcibly tries to put a move on Joseph. And the Bible says that he ran from her. And when he ran from her, she ripped his garment. She had proof of his life. Amen? And so she lied on him. From there, he's thrown into prison. It's not enough, man. I mean, come on. He's now thrown into prison. But now it looks like, well, he's got favor again, because now he's in the prison and the man who is the jailer looks on him and looks at him and sees the favor and the calling in his life. And what happens is that everything is great. He's put in charge just like he was in Potiphar's house. You see, he's always been called. He's always had that anointing. He's always had those gifts in his life. But he was a 17-year-old boy. And because he told the wrong people about the dream, because he wanted to brag to them, just like every 17-year-old boy that many times is as dumb as a box of rocks. At 17, how much wisdom do you have? How much knowledge can you have at 17? But here is the calling. Here is the divine appointment on the inside of Joseph's life. Here is that time, and he's at that chronological time, and he reveals that there are some Kairos moments that are going to come to his brother's life. And they throw him into the pit. They got to get rid of him. They hate him. He goes to Potiphar's house. It looks like there's a turnaround. The wife won't leave him alone. All of a sudden, he's back in hot water again. And there he finds himself in prison. He goes to prison. And here he is there. And he is doing his job. He has great favor. And all of a sudden, here comes a baker and a butler. And they both have dreams. And he says to him, hey, God is the one who interprets dreams. Are you listening to me? We're going to get someplace. See, these are all Kairos moments that are working themselves together. We don't understand it, because we don't understand them to be Kairoses, because in it, we are trying to fulfill God. We're trying to walk our life out. But here is these constant interruptions into our life. We just about get ourselves set. We start moving forward. And all of a sudden, something else happens in our life. Something else transpires in our life. I want to believe Romans 8 and 28. I want to hear that we know that all things. I want to have that we know. Are you listening to me? I want to have that confidence. I want to have that assurance on the inside of me. But you see, chronologically, I'm being pressed by time all the time. Because that's the way that it works. You see, your chronos is bringing you into your kairos. Your chronos, or your natural, and kairos, which is the supernatural that's working in your life. See, most of us have lived our lives living according to our chronos. We know how to live according to the chronos. We know how to live according to the clock. We know how to obey chronos. But that's not what God is preparing him for. See, what he doesn't realize is that his chronos is bringing him into those kairos moments. Your every day, we don't realize that, but I want you to know is that every day your chronos is taking you in to those kairos moments. If you're not careful, what you will look at it, you will dismiss. You'll dismiss Potiphar's wife. You'll dismiss those who have betrayed you. See, your hate will get in front of you. Your hate will dominate you. Your disappointments will dominate your life. Your wounds will dominate your life. But when you begin to realize that your brothers who betrayed you, Potiphar's wife who has betrayed you, and here again you have the baker and you have the butler. Seemingly it looks like a Kairos moment. It looks like a God moment. It's like, wow, here something has been sent my way. They have a dream. He interprets a dream. He tells the baker, it's not good. In 3 days, your head's going to be lopped off. But he tells the butler, in 3 days, you're going to be delivered out of this. And he says to the butler, hey, look, man. And I can understand this. He said, don't forget me. You know, hook me up with the king. Hook me up with the Pharaoh. I've interpreted this for you, and I've been wronged. Are you listening to me? He says, I've been wrong, and I don't belong here. Well, see, you're not hearing me. See, Joseph still hasn't got everything worked out of his life. See, Joseph still hasn't got everything worked out of his life. How do you know that? Because he's trying to intervene. He is dictating and saying. He doesn't understand that all of this is God's divine appointment. This is God's divine plan working his life. God's trying to take him someplace. See, he's trying to take him to chapter 45 here in Genesis. He's trying to take him to that moment when he stands before his father and his brothers and say, it wasn't you that brought me here. It was God who brought me here for a divine purpose for my life. But he was telling the butler, hey, I don't belong here. I'm too good for this jail. Amen? My gifts are not really appreciated here to the fullest extent. See, all the attitude hasn't been worked out of Joseph yet. See, I know, and again, I'm not talking about any of you. I really am not. Let's put it back on me. See, sometimes what God is doing, God allows circumstances and has created circumstances many times. Well, I remember right before I came down here, not just shortly there, before I came here to Wilkesboro. In fact, when God was speaking to me about this, I tell you what, I am really slow on the uptake sometimes. I don't know if anybody else is like that, you know, but you know, you get the aha moment, you know, like that, oh, like 3 years later. And I remember because Bishop was preaching one morning, and there's a couple thousand people sitting there in the audience. And I wasn't sitting up on the front. In fact, that day I was sitting about midway back. It's a sea of faces. Are you hearing me? It's a sea of faces. He, in the middle of his message, stops. Points his hand at me and tells me, "You're about ready to come in to your moment. I see God drawing you back, and you're about ready to hit your mark." I'm like, "What?" Minding my own business. Are you hearing me? So shortly thereafter, he approaches me. Says, "What do you think about starting to work?" And I said, "Well, sure, man. That's what God's saying to you, Bishop." He said, "Well, I don't know." He said, "You know, it's no big deal. Let's test the waters." He said, "Have you ever thought about Sandusky, which is set in between Cleveland and Toledo, which there was people coming from, you know, driving once a month. And, you know, we'll start a cornerstone in Sandusky. There's nothing there." Cool. Advertised. Are you listening to me? Spent all kinds of money. Bought equipment. And we go to the first service. Beautiful place. Nice sanctuary. Well, there's probably only 10 people from Sandusky. And the rest was from Toledo and from another church that I was a part of. Okay. We're going to do this once a month. Well, by the third month we did it, Bishop was done. Like, he was like, "Hey, look, these people aren't giving in the offering because the only people gave was from Toledo and us, and the other people were Sandusky." You know, it was like those dollar offerings. I'll tell you something, you can't build a church. You can't construct a vision on dollars, on dollar offerings. So Bishop was done, and so he said, "Well, what do you want to do?" And I said, "Well, you know, I want to work it out a little bit further, Bishop, and see what happens." And so we did. Guess what? Every service, you know, a smeltering of people, the same faces. You know, we kept trying. So we're about 6 months into this. And I said, "You know what? The problem probably is we need to have a service on Sunday morning. Let's have a service on Sunday morning." And I says, "You know what? It's going to tell the tale of really where we're at." So we advertised. I mean, this is not something that we just did off the cuff. We advertised, and we had a Sunday morning advertised and got there. And guess what? The same 10 people showed up. And the only people was there was people from another town that we brought. Can I tell you that a revelation came? And I thought, and I was reading my notes that I kept, and I thought, well, this is where God has taken me. And so I am all anticipating that this is where God's going to open this up, and we're going to be able to keep our jobs, and we're going to just work this and build this. And guess what? It just was flat. And I want you to know something. I've not done a whole lot of things that were flat, but this was flat, and no matter what we did. And I got to thinking, I thought, man, if Bishop can't bring a crowd, how in the world am I going to bring a crowd? And I realized that I had changed. Because if it would have been the old me, I would have stayed there until the last bit of energy, the last bit of finances had been drained from my account, because I was going to prove that God had spoken to me. This is right before I came here. And so I just went to Bishop. And Bishop had told me, he said, "Look, man, if this doesn't work out," he said, "it's no big deal." I had never had anybody ever tell me that before. Because, you know, most people, like, if you think that you did something and it was God and it didn't work out, it was like major disappointment. You know, major embarrassment. "Oh, Lord, I miss God." He said, "It's no big deal." He said, "Here's the thing. If it don't work out, guess what? You still have a home to come to. You just come on back and we'll see what God has." And so I said, "That's it." And I shut it down. I shut it down. I said, "That's it." And shortly thereafter, I remember sitting in my office and telling God, "Hey, you know what, God? for the first time. You know what? I am cool with this. This is great. And all of a sudden, a breaking on the inside, and I just released it. And for the first time, I had complete peace of knowing that I was in God's divine will. I didn't understand the end of my faith. I didn't know exactly what God was going to do with me. But you know what? For right now, I knew that God was working in my life and that there was something happening. Even though I did not have full understanding, I released it all to God, and an overwhelming peace came over my life. So this is how it works. This is how it works. And all of a sudden, peace came over my life, and I became more productive than I ever had on my job before. I became more at peace, more settled. And I began to live like, hey, man, all right, this is cool. This is where God wants me. If that's where He wants me, I'm going to work. I'm going to labor. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And I was just excited. And all of a sudden, one day, out of the blue, I'm there at the very pinnacle. Everything is clicking. Boom, 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 boom. And a telephone call come. Hey, Pastor Mark. I said, what's up, Pastor Smith? He said, hey, man. He said, Bishop wants you to go down to Wilkesboro. And I said, okay. I said, if you can tell me where Wilkesboro is. He said, oh, I didn't talk to you about this, did I? And I said, nah, you didn't. He said, well, are you willing to go? I said, sure. That's history 4 years ago. I want you to know that in it, in the in-betweens is where that sometimes that we get lost. We don't understand that before that I got here, there was a lot of in-betweens. There was a lot of betrayals. There was a lot of things that was there in my life and in your life. The in-betweens is where that we are developed. It's the in-betweens that God's Kairos is developing your life. Those moments that God is developing your faith and your mentality to get you ready for that moment. And when you step into that divine appointment and God has brought all the conditions together in your life, you'll look back and you'll see the divine hand of God in it all. But see, the problem is that when you're called, and right now, you're in the in-between. And if you're in the in-between, it's difficult to see the end of your faith. Romans 8 and 28, look at it again. He said, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. How do we know, Pastor? Well, let me share with you how you know. You'll know by realizing that the in-between moments of your life was God. That your brothers, the pit, Potiphar's wife, the butler forgetting you for 2 years in the prison. Are you listening to me? He forgets him. But what does God do? He gives a dream to Pharaoh. See, I don't think you're grasping what I'm saying, or I'm not communicating it to you correctly this morning. I don't know which it is. But I want you to understand that, you see, God's hand was on it from the very beginning. See, God saw the end of what was coming. See, God wanted to demonstrate His miraculous power to sustain. Why? Well, because this was Jacob. This was God's called. This is the nation of Israel. This is God's chosen people. Just like I said to you the other day, is that what we don't realize is that the person is more important than the many, many times. We don't understand that God's sovereign hand in our life has appointed us to a place. God's appointed your life to a circumstance. God's appointed your calling to your life. And what God is doing from the place of beginning to the place of end, there is the in between. Those kairos moments, those divine moments that God is developing your character, that God is developing your attitude, that God is developing you to a place to where when it happens, that you are in a place to receive it and walk in that which God has called you to. But the problem is that it doesn't always seem that way. It comes in the guise of 11 brothers who pick you up and throw you in a pit. It comes in the guise of a woman who tries to take advantage of you. It comes in the guise of being in prison for years and not being guilty. Being persecuted, the truth of it is that there's nothing really that Joseph had done except being inexperienced and unwise in his dealings. But here, as favored as he was, you have to understand, is that looking on the natural, it's like, man, you're saying this guy's favored. I mean, the world saw the favor of God on Joseph. Are you hearing me? The unbeliever saw the favor on him. But Joseph, looking at his own life, is probably saying, man, I don't feel very favored. But by the time it was all over and said, what you hear here, going back to Genesis chapter 45, go with me real quick, and I'm stopping. Genesis chapter 45, look here. Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. Can I tell you, you can take Romans chapter 8 and 28 and you can place it right here. What you have here is Joseph saying, I finally know. See, how do we know, Pastor? Well, we know because our conversation changes. Our whole attitude changes. See, you have to understand something. Joseph didn't know any of this until one day his brothers show up and he sees it's his brothers, and all of a sudden he remembers as his brothers walk into the room that he is sitting in and they bow themselves in front of him. And the Bible says he remembered the dream that he had. See, when he had his first child, His first child meant, I forgot my past. Are you hearing me? When he had his first child by the woman that Pharaoh gave him, his first child, I'm not going to spend the time going back. You can go back and do the research. But the Hebrew is that he forgot his pain. Are you hearing me? So what he's saying is this. He's married. He's having children and he's thinking, hey, this is my life and God has blessed me and I don't even remember. So he walks on with his life and he says, I don't even remember. And the next thing you know, here is his brothers kneeling before him, bowing before him. And the Bible says, and now he remembered the dream. And all of a sudden, it came home to roost. He realizes, oh man. This hasn't been about anything else. All of a sudden, his heart begins to open and he realizes, man, this is bigger than what I even realized. You see, in all the time that he walked, all he was doing was trying to live. He was trying to exist. He didn't stop serving God. He didn't hate God. He just realized this is the way it is. But until his brothers, until the very thing, the people that started the whole thing was sitting in front of him, all of a sudden he was opened up again and he realized, my Lord, this is what this has been about. It's not been about me, but it's been about God preserving me to preserve a nation. Wow. All of a sudden, his God world came from, hey, I'm doing the right thing, to all of a sudden knowing. And the heavens opened up to him. Oh, he had to walk through it for a while. Are you listening to me? Especially when he saw his brother Benjamin. He could hardly control himself. In another place, it says this. I mean, think of the power of this statement. He looks at his brothers and says to them, this is the translation, he says, look, I know. Look, think about this. He looks to his brothers who hated him. I mean, we pass by this. You don't think that when he's thrown into that pit and he's sitting there and then he is sold into slavery, that you're telling me he didn't have to work against resentment and bitterness in his life? He didn't have to struggle against the fact of, God, have you forsaken me? Why have you done this? Here, you said I was highly favored of my father, and here, everything's been taken from me. But consistently, he doesn't renounce God. He doesn't understand everything, but he doesn't renounce God. And in that moment, he says to his brothers, I know you meant this for my evil. Let's don't play around. I know you wanted to kill me. The only thing that saved me was Reuben. The only thing that saved me was Reuben. That he said, don't kill him. Don't let his blood be on our hands. Let's just get rid of him. I know you meant this for my evil. This is what he said. But I know God has meant it for my good. If I have anything to say to you today out of this message, I have this to say to you. Some of our journeys that began well, because let's look back. Because, man, when we began this journey, we had no idea what the times of in between were going to be like. Amen? We had no idea. The people who would hurt us, the people who would betray us, the people who would desert us. We had no idea the wounds that was going to be there. There's only one person who knew that. Jesus Christ. See, he not only knew his beginning and his end, but he knew what his life held for him in that earth. Can you imagine? We don't have that many times. We know that there are some indicators that he said, you're going to receive persecution. They're going to hate you for my name's sake. But how many had any idea that the in-betweens would be the in-betweens that you have lived in your life? Nobody does, do we? But here's the thing. It's for those who have not come to that place, and for you that have come to that place, who can say, Pastor, the truth is, I can say, I know that all things have worked together for the good in my life. I no longer am taking the wounds, the hurts, the pains that are there in my life, and those are my focus. See, that is some people's focus. Some people have built worship around it. because they built such worship around their hurts and their wounds that they literally anticipate, this is what's going to happen in my life. They never enter a relationship in the basis of, wow, I wonder what good's going to come out of this. They enter into relationships like, well, how long is it going to take for you to hurt me? How long is it going to take for you to reject me? How long is it going to take for you to want to get rid of my life? Are you hearing me? But Joseph said, look, I know all of this has happened for a reason. All of this has happened because God has brought this about. He's brought me here to preserve you. Let me ask you a question this morning. Who has God called you to preserve? I'm just wondering. Who has God called you to save, to change? I can tell you right now that if your wounds and your hurts and your betrayals become your objects of worship, you'll never see the people that you've been called to preserve. After Sandusky, I could have taken a road, but something changed in me. And I realized that God had something more. And I didn't care what it was. I just knew that God did. And every day of my life, and I tell people this all the time, whether they believe it or not, I never get up one day, ever. And I deal with things that some of you have no idea about personally. But you know what? Not one day do I get up complaining that God has called me here. You say, well, Pastor, you weren't born here in Wilkesboro. Well, that's one of those in-between things. That God had a reason for me not being born here in Wilkesboro. Amen? Because you know what? There's another world outside of Wilkesboro. But guess what? You've been born here and you've been brought here. And this is your in-between. And if you're not careful, you're going to miss because you think that God has to take you out to take you in. And I declare to you today is this: God don't have to take you out. He already has you in. When are you going to say, I know now God has a divine purpose for me being here in this place? Amen. Would you bow your heads? Father, I thank you today. I thank you for this moment and these moments that we had, this Kairos moment that you have ordained for us today. Lord, I thank you for that today. I thank you, Father, that you have brought about in us today this divine time in our life. And I thank you, Father, that, Lord, that you are the author, the finisher of our faith, and you have brought us to a place that, Lord, that even though we don't always understand, even though we don't always understand, Father, in the moment, whether we be in the pit, whether we be in Potiphar's house, whether we be in that place of imprisonment, whether we be in that place, Lord, we realize that you have ordained us. And the beauty of it, Father, it wasn't the ultimate that you had called him to be second in command in Egypt, but you brought him to that position so that he would preserve a nation that was called by you. He was one cog in that wheel of your divine purpose for the nation of Israel. Father, I know right now that there are people here that think their lives are insignificant. And Father, I want to make a decree. Your life is not insignificant today. That God has called you to preserve someone else. God has called you, whether that is one people or a nation, God has called you. And you're living in the in-between moments of your life right now. And how you handle it, how you receive it, how you walk in those in-between times, how you walk in the middle of your life, how you deal with the wounds, how you deal with the unfairness of life, brings you to that moment. Now, Father, I just ask, seal this word in their hearts and their lives. And we thank you for it right now. In Jesus' precious name. In Jesus' precious name. We thank you for it, Father. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you.